I think it's safe to say that a lot of you out there are coffee lovers. You probably brew something fresh every morning, or maybe you run to a local coffee shop or drive-thru on your way to work each morning. But have you ever taken the time to think about what is in your coffee or the other additives you add, like your coffee creamer? Well, Laird Superfood could help you up your coffee game with an entirely new coffee experience. With Laird, you'll get better ingredients, amazing taste, and functional benefits. All products are sustainably sourced and thoroughly tested to ensure that you are incorporating the cleanest, finest fuel into your routine. Their coffees are made from all-natural, whole food ingredients, contain naturally occurring MCTs from coconut oil, have no artificial flavors, colors, or additives. And the Laird Superfood creamers are crafted from the highest quality, all-natural, real food ingredients. Are you ready to feel more energized, focused, and supported? Go to LairdSuperfood.com and add nourishing plant-based foods to fuel you from sunrise to sunset. Use our promo code GOPODCAST at checkout to save 15% off your purchase today. Hey everybody, welcome to a bonus episode of the Go Get Outside podcast. This is your host, Jason Milligan. Welcome back, welcome aboard. Today I will be featuring the first episode of Chickaboom. This was a show created by Cindy Wyatt, who you may recall from podcast episodes 84, 92, and 104. This was recorded as a live stream back in the summer of 2019, which included live audience questions and some interactions. Chickaboom was a show created for women, by women, about the outdoors, created by Cindy Wyatt, but also featuring Marilee Valcaz, who also has appeared in episode 92 of this podcast. It also features Severia Tilden, who was on episode number 3 of this podcast, and then again in episode 92. And it also features a newcomer to the show, Roxanne Armstrong. And in this episode, they talk about the top 5 reasons that keep women from going outside. I invite you to listen to the audio here on the feed, but if you would like to watch the original videotaped live stream from 2019, you can head to our YouTube page, youtube.com/@GoGetOutsidePodcast, or you can go to our website, gogetoutside.com, go to the video section, go to the YouTube page, and you can find it there. So I will leave you to Chickaboom, Mother Nature is Calling, and we will be back December 16th with a regular episode of this podcast. So enjoy.
Discussions are naturally ignited when you get a group of women together in the outdoors. We love to talk and we love adventure. But what we observed was a lack of relatable conversations happening, like between other women. So we put together a panel of experts and influencers to guide and start the conversation. But we rely on you to bring that discussion to another level. So let's get you outside confident and comfortable. Let me introduce you to our panel. My name is Cindy Wyatt. Marilee Valcaz, join us, please.
Hi.
Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you for having me. This is very exciting.
Tell me a little bit about yourself.
So my name is Marilee, and I work at REI Burbank as an action sports specialist. I'm also an outdoor educator and adventure coach, and just overall outdoor multi-sport athlete.
Awesome. Next, we have Severia Tilden. Woohoo! Yeah. Awesome.
Thank you.
What a dream team.
I know, right? My name is Severia, and I am a marketing consultant and founder of The Adventurous, as well as a rock climbing guide and adventure guide, and I like to say I'm an instigator of fun.
All right, you are.
Awesome. Awesome chick.
Next up, Roxanne Armstrong. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I'm so glad you're here.
Thank you for inviting me. My name is Roxanne. I am a yoga instructor. international yoga competitor and just an all-around outdoor enthusiast. I love to be outdoors, and I'm so happy to be here with these wonderful women. Thank you.
Thank you. I didn't say much about myself, but I work at the REI in Burbank, California as a sales lead, and I'm an event director and also an ultra runner. Let's kick off this show, and we have an awesome sponsor for today's show.
Yes,
Severia.
Our sponsor is Rinse Bath and Soap Company. It's a woman-owned business that makes amazing natural products for bath and body. And we have 20 Peppa Foot Balms, which are amazing foot balms that we're going to be giving away to the first 20 people who add questions to the chat. So participate in our chat. The first 20 will get a Peppa Foot sent to you. We will contact you later on that. We will be answering some of your chat questions live at the end of the show, and those that we can't answer live, we will get to online. So please give us your questions.
Nice. All That's righty. Good stuff, too. It smells really good.
So let's light the fuse and get this topic started.
Yeah, let's get started.
Marilee, what do we got for today?
Well, girls, Mother Nature is calling you, and we want to find out what the heck is keeping you from getting outside. You know, it's we have all kinds of barriers in our day-to-day lives, and we just want to talk about them. So definitely, as Cindy said, go ahead and post your questions and share some of your experiences. But we're going to talk about the top five kind of barriers that we've identified. Cindy, you want to go ahead and list those?
Yeah, sure. So not necessarily in order of any importance or anything like that, but things that we've come up with. The first one is time. I just don't have the time. And I guess I will address this being a mom, and I was definitely in this position. I literally thought like the house would just come crumbling down if I left for 1 hour to go on a run or a hike. But you know, what I realized was that I was more grounded and calm to be able to overcome those obstacles of that everyday, like rushing around that moms do.
Right, so, laundry's still gonna be there. Like, it's not gonna change your life whether you do it.
I literally
now or
came
after,
back
right?
in the door, and the kid is still like coloring or whatever, and looks up and it says,
"Didn't even miss you."
Like, I was like, "I'm gonna do another 5 miles."
So you're telling me you have an overinflated sense of importance? Don't we all?
I think the other thing too with time is that people feel like you need a ton of time. Like, I don't have hours to go on a big hike, or I don't have all this time. And getting out in nature can be simple, and it doesn't have to be a long time. So if you have 10 minutes in the morning, 15 minutes, it could just be walking the dog. It could be finding a sit spot someplace in your yard where you can just go and sit and decompress for 10 or 15 minutes. So I think too, getting outdoors doesn't have to be an epic summit peak 20 mile mountain bike ride.
Absolutely.
You know, it can be something
a little goes a long way, for sure.
And I think really making it a part of your schedule, because I think we're all busy women and schedule. I even schedule my own yoga class or a hike with Marilee on a Thursday. I put it in my calendar as a commitment to myself.
Good
That's
point.
How I make the time.
Yeah, definitely. Really and you know what? And it really pays off because it makes you a better person just throughout the day. And it just, you can be much more valuable to the people you love and the people that
Maybe
you
Maybe there's
care
more
for.
Time in the day than we really think. So
get up earlier. Get up earlier.
Okay, so we have knocked that obstacle out of the park. That's Boom. No longer.
Boom. Right.
So another thing we've heard is, I don't know how to do it. Like, education point. So, Severia, I'd like for you to kind of kick this conversation.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think we all know knowledge equals confidence, right? And so if you don't have that knowledge, it's part of the reason why you may not be confident going outdoors. So educate yourself. Take a class. REI Outdoor School has great classes. They have all women's classes. They have mixed classes on all different disciplines. Chicks Climbing and Skiing has amazing all women specific things for outdoors. So there's tons of classes that you can take to get out. You can also educate yourself through like friends, through meeting other people. There's different ways you can do it. Also hiring a guide, like get some one-on-one time with somebody. So friends, professional resources, classes, guides, those are all great ways not only to educate yourself, but also, you know, get more knowledge and get to know other people.
Yeah, and I think, you know, to get started, you mentioned the REI classes. So there's some in-store classes that they offer for free.
Right.
You know, so, you know, learning how to, you know, preparing to go camping, and it's all camping basics, hiking basics, backpacking basics. These are all just baby steps that you can take that can get you started right away.
And if they say beginning, You're welcome.
Right. Absolutely.
You're totally green in the subject.
Yep.
You're welcome.
Yep, definitely.
And I even think some of the local city colleges have classes that you could enroll in. I've seen some of the information out there.
There's
books, so much information.
Online, of course.
Online is great.
A lot of absolutely legitimate websites that have a lot of valuable information. So.
And I would just say, as a beginner, and as you're learning something new, remember that it's okay to be a beginner at something. So I think that's something too. There's this fear of like we have to be good or we have to be an expert at it. And remember that you're going to learn something and it's going to be hard at first, and that's okay. Like a lot of times when I would teach stand-up paddleboarding classes, everyone would be getting super frustrated, and they've been doing it for 20 minutes of their entire life.
Yeah.
Right. So putting in perspective, when you're learning something new, give it time, take deep breaths, and just like soak in that knowledge and keep practicing.
And have fun.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the whole idea. Have fun. Don't take yourself too seriously. Yeah. I think that kind of ties into what you're saying. I mean, it doesn't have to be hard. You just have fun. Lower your expectations. Yeah. In fact, I do that a lot. I have very low expectations of myself, and it really works. I'm great.
Well, you're sitting here, so I guess
here I am.
You're an expert now.
Yeah. That's right, because you said so.
Thanks. Okay, number three on the list is I don't have other friends that are adventurous, and I don't know who to go out with. So, Marilee, would you like to
girlfriends,
launch this?
You got friends out here that want to play in the outdoors with you. Okay, maybe your current group of friends, they're not going out there and exploring the wild, but you know what? There are plenty of us who are, and we want you to come out with us. And there's plenty of other girls looking for, people like you. Even grab one of your current girlfriends. You got a wine club, right? Grab one of your wine club buddies and let's go out. Let's go to one of these classes and learn about backpacking or hiking. And I mean, it's really not that hard to do. There's also meetup groups. There's the Sierra Club. There's so many organizations. Girls who hike, women who hike, all of these clubs that you can find online, ton in the LA area. If you want to learn how to mountain bike, there's Girls Gone Riding. They're all over Southern California. And there's other organizations and clubs all over the country, all over the world. So just all you have to do is get on this little thing called Google, and you can actually find a lot of opportunities.
So how do you discern between the good and the bad, the meetups that are legit and things like that? Like, what are some buttons that you see, like red flags, like, whoop, no thank you?
So I would say depending on your level. So if you're a total beginner, you might want to start with something that's actually a class, not just a meetup, right? Or something, or look at the qualifications of who's leading the group or who's leading the hike. Mm-hmm. So also look for things that say beginner, because they're going to be expecting beginners to show up. As you get more advanced, you can probably reach out to different groups once you have that knowledge and you're more self-sufficient. But definitely as a beginner trying things, I would say try to look for groups and look for organizations that are supportive of sort of that beginner person.
For sure. And don't underestimate your own judgment. Right. I mean, you can go to meetups, and meetups have different cultures, just like in any other organization that you go to. And, you can decide, do I like these people? Do I feel confident with these people? Or maybe I have to try another one. Sometimes you have to try a couple different groups to find out, this is the right one for me.
And I think this is all great, but this also can be overwhelming, right? It's like, oh my God, I've got to go on Google. I've got to research this. I guess sometimes it's like your friend, your neighbor, just like, hey, let's go for a walk. Let's just get outside and go for a walk. Yeah, I know. That's how we started.
Some experience with this?
Yes, exactly. Exactly. That's how the two of us met. Just my neighbor, let's go for a walk, walking our dogs. And it's led on to backpacking in this area.
Yeah.
So,
yeah absolutely.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And also classes, if you sign up for class, remember that a lot of times people are taking that class because they're like you, they may not have anybody to teach them, they don't have people in their world who want to try rock climbing or want to try mountain biking. And so all of a sudden you meet other people who are at the same level who want to start doing this. So a lot of times you make friends taking classes too.
And you think you're alone in this. I'm the only person that wants to be, and everybody feels
like
alone in this like class or what have you.
Yeah.
A way that I encourage, like in the trail running community, to meet other folks is to join a race. And I'm not saying you have to be competitive, like, you're gonna join a race, you're gonna win! What are you gonna do?
You're not gonna be my friend if you don't win.
No! You're gonna gain, like, 2,000 new friends, and absolutely, they all need to put in these miles, and especially the trail running community mm-hmm. is just so grounded and close and quaint, as I put it. So joining a race or an event like that, mm-hmm. You get to know a new sphere of friends. And then, you know, some of those friends that you might not have thought are very adventurous, all of a sudden they're like, huh, I'd like to go riding a bike with you today or something yeah. like that. It's
contagious.
So,
right.
And
so
races, definitely.
Right. And then you inspire your friends.
Yeah, and absolutely. Races are great yeah. because they give you a goal to work towards. Right. So it's yeah. just nice to be like, okay, like we have a goal to work for, something to train for.
Okay.
Definitely.
Our yeah. next goal. Did we knock that obstacle
out of the park? We knocked that obstacle out of the park.
I don't know, viewers, you guys have to, you know, send us a message. Let us know if we cleared that one up for you.
Okay. The next one, Roxanne, this is right up your alley, is I'm just not ready. Like, I have to train before I join you.
Right. You know, it's so interesting. I was a personal trainer for a long time. I'm now a yoga teacher. And I think, not that we do yoga outdoors all the time, although sometimes there are classes or just do yoga outside, but the first thing people say is, I'm not flexible enough, which is ironic because that's why you go to a class, to learn. Again, going back to being a beginner. And so you just want to remember to take it slowly. Again, go with a friend, walk around a block. If you've never walked, don't expect to go hike Whitney, you know, your first outing. It's yeah. really more about just getting outside and seeing what's out there and having some fun that way. And it's really more about enjoying what you're doing, enjoying company with friends, and just taking a little bit of time and being patient. Number one, I think we've said those things before, too.
How did mm-hmm. you feel on that first backpacking trip?
Oh, right. So my first backpacking trip with Marilee, yes. I was on a trial basis. I was...
to the summit.
Yes. And the thing about that not ready is asking questions. I think I asked you a million questions. What do yep. I take? You know, what do I wear? How much should my pack weigh? All of these questions. What food? Mm-hmm. A million questions. So it was educational.
And we started hiking
and
together.
And it was friends.
In the mornings.
Yeah. So all of this just comes together that you might not be ready, but you take small steps and then you take bigger ones.
I don't know if you're ever feel ready. You know, like if you just wait until you're ready,
you're
going to
be right. dead. Right.
Yeah, just join yeah. the
just
class.
Just go.
Yeah, because the results yeah. will come.
Well, and the thing is that, you know, one, do it on your own terms. Mm-hmm. You know, and you find the friend or the group that's going to be supportive of maybe your fears mm-hmm. and your abilities, and they're going to help you. They're going to help you grow yeah. and get through it. The other thing is just keep it fun.
Yes.
And
yeah.
doing it with friends and with fun women.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
That makes all the difference. So you are ready.
Yeah,
you're ready.
Yeah. Don't
girl.
Worry about your fitness ability. Yep. Just yep. join the
you're
class.
Ready.
Results
yep.
will
one
come.
Step at a time.
You are
yeah.
ready.
Okay. Obstacle number four.
Boom!
Boom, chick-a-boom.
Okay, now there's this big elephant in the room. This is one of the number one reasons that women don't go outdoors is fear!
Oh,
I'm gonna
snakes.
Get
eaten! Oh my god! Creepy monster!
Yes!
Actually, this okay. is a fear of mine.
Yes.
That really is.
No, just keep that and just strangle it.
So is that?
And oh wait, running out of wine when you're on the trip.
There's
oh,
a yeah, right, right. That's a big fear one. Of running out of wine, for sure.
Okay, yeah, that is a big one. Okay.
But actually, this, honestly, snakes in California, because I grew up in Alaska, and snakes is a new thing that I had to worry about. It's like, oh, I needed a little education and have respect and... So, yes.
Yes.
Yeah, I
snakes.
Will keep the snake next to me.
Snakes
I
think you should keep it on your lap. One of, that was one of my scariest things to get over until I realized that there were bigger animals out there like mountain lions and bears.
And
I was
and
like,
really big spiders.
Really big spiders. Literally at the Grand Canyon, the tarantulas are about this size and they're just walking around like, was that a rat or a small dog? And then,
oh my
God. It's crazy. Yeah, they're out there, but they're not poisonous.
And
then I realized that rattlesnakes, you have like 6 hours to get to the hospital, yeah. so yeah. I got this. Yeah. Except for that one in Joshua Tree that you don't want to get bit by.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
So let's talk about like all aspects mm-hmm. of the fear, fears that we have. There's different types. So we're obviously addressing wildlife.
Yeah. Fear in general is rational.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And we all have it to varying degrees. But you can't let it keep you from doing the things that you really want to do. And so I think in terms of when you're outside and you're hiking, just pay attention. You know, look where you're walking so you don't step on that snake. And if you know don't run or hike with headphones so you can't hear things around you. Keep an eye out open for creeps like me, you know, that are lurking about. And then if you see some wacko, you know, you turn around. And I think that's just general awareness. Yeah. And
so sometimes they don't really look like wackos.
Yeah, that's true. Yes.
But yeah, wildlife can be men.
Yeah, no, definitely. So that's, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Creepy trail people.
Yeah.
And that's also a reason to go with a friend, to always mm-hmm. go with a buddy too.
It makes you feel so vulnerable. Mm-hmm. Like all of a sudden, like you see somebody that maybe doesn't have hiking clothes on or just doesn't look quite right, and you're mm-hmm. just like, I am here in little shorts and a tank top and I've got nothing.
Right.
So
you can run fast.
Yeah. Well, but I think, on Instagram.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there are definitely things you can do. I mean, you can carry pepper spray. You can take some self-defense classes. You know, I took some practice Brazilian jiu-jitsu, and that's very helpful stuff because at least you know you can take control of a situation. Mm-hmm. Am I still scared and nervous when I'm out by myself, especially in the front country? Yeah, I am. And I usually grab a friend and hike, but every once in a while I'll go, and there are certain trails that I will go by myself on, but there are some that I will not go by myself. And that's
what makes you feel safe?
So honestly, having a friend. So, you know, there's all this women who are like solo hiking and I want to get out there by myself and it's empowering. And I'm not a fan. So I don't hike by myself. And when I do go out, I make sure in case something happens. One, because if you get injured, not even just creeper dudes, or creeper people, but if you get injured, if you get hurt, if you get bit, if you do get bit, all
just
sorts of things
safety.
Can happen, but it's a safety thing. And so when I go, especially backcountry or I think there's not going to be service, I always have some sort of satellite device or in reach. I use the bigger version. This is adorable. I love this, and I'm super jealous of this one. But I use it in reach, which has an SOS function. It also has a two-way communicator, so you can check in with people to say, checking in, all's good, running a little late, those kinds of things. And then also your cell phone. Mm-hmm. Your cell phone there's GPS programs, so you can track. So if you think you're getting lost, you can come back. As well as a lot of times the 911 function on your phone will work even if your cell reception doesn't. So that's another good reason to have your phone. Mm-hmm. And then also, like I would say most importantly, going back to the education thing, is making sure you always stay found. So again, always having a map, always having the 10 essentials, right? So you're prepared if something happens. Map, compass, knowing where you are. Because once you're lost, it's much harder to figure out where you are versus if you stay found. So if you mm-hmm. have a map and you know where you are and you're kind of tracking, like, oh, I'm at this trail junction and now I'm here.
Exactly. Then paying attention to those junctions. Okay, I'm here now. Here's a landmark. Yeah. Okay, next junction, same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, let's make sure we address all the different types of fear. We did talk about bears.
Yeah.
So I think we should talk about bear spray really quickly. Because some people might think that they can use this.
So there's
to ward off
two kinds of bears that we need to be talking about. There's black bears, which are most common in California, stuff like that. And honestly, they're scaredy cats.
Yeah.
Right?
They are.
So being noisy, bear bells, I think we had one somewhere.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Making noise.
Whistles.
Yeah. Clapping your hands.
Most likely they're one, you're not gonna see them because when they hear you coming, they're gonna disappear. And you just don't want to startle them. So most of the time they'll run away. Grizzlies, on the other hand, which are things in like Montana, Wyoming, like those places, they do have grizzly bears.
Alaska.
Yeah.
And so that's where things like bear spray or you need extra precautions when you're going out. But again, there's lots of things that you can do that are preventative so that you don't get hurt. Same with mountain lions, rattlesnakes, all that kind of stuff.
And just a note too, so the if you're thinking about possibly carrying bear spray as a safety deterrent for humans, bear spray is not as strong as pepper spray for humans. So it's not a great, so it's probably better than nothing. But if you're thinking about that, you're probably better off carrying a small canister of pepper spray to protect you as well.
And keep in mind, some national parks don't allow you to use the bear spray.
In California. That's Yosemite and Sequoia.
So check those rules before you head out with bear spray.
For sure.
So I would also say another fear, probably getting hurt when you're outdoors. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, unfortunately, part of being adventurous and part of having fun and going outdoors is you're going on an uneven path, you're going different places. So I would say, you know, if you're going to be going into the backcountry, taking a wilderness first aid class and kind of knowing what it entails to be in the backcountry and how to get yourself hurt. And also just always having a simple first aid kit with you. Scratches, bumps, bruises, stuff like that.
Absolutely.
Asthma inhaler, whatever you need, acknowledging, just knowing that it's going to happen.
Yeah. And again, that's just awareness. Be careful. If it doesn't feel right, don't do it.
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay, so if we kind of knock that fear out of the park,
boom!
Okay. So now, goodbye, kitty cat. Okay, so now it is time to hear from our audience. Do you guys have any questions for us?
Oh, conjuring.
We're getting the questions.
Oh, no.
And keep in mind, these discussions. We're gonna. If you contribute to our conversation, then we are gonna send you our Peppa foot. So you're gonna have like soft and subtle feet.
Smells really good too.
Yeah, it does.
It does.
Yeah.
Okay. Bring down the question.
Bring down the question.
Yeah. Awesome.
Okay.
Thank you so much. This is so exciting.
All right. Okay. Great. That's our first question.
All right. Okay. Let me hand them out.
Oh, wow.
Oh, no. Where are my glasses?
Oh, God. I threw them for a loop.
Are we old women or what?
All right, should we start with Roxanne?
Here. Let's see. This is question number three. They're numbered.
That's okay. Just go.
Okay. From Tanya, how does social media impact the outdoor experience?
Oh, that's a great question. That affects things like I'm not good enough, I'm not ready to go out there because you're seeing all of these images of these perfect, beautiful athletes, you know, that are in perfect form.
I think we posted some of those.
Yeah, they're us. And I am so sorry. I'm so sorry for those. But I think that's right because it sets an unreasonable standard. And I think those are a lot of the posed shots, right?
But I do have to say it also impacts in a good way where people are inspired.
Absolutely.
Like, wow, that's really beautiful. I'd love to go there. Where are you?
I didn't know that peak existed an hour away from Los Angeles.
So for me personally, even though I think this was, I'm assuming, impact in also that we're always behind our camera and doing things like that, but I feel that in social media, when I see beautiful shots of people outdoors, I'm inspired and I want to get outdoors. That's what happens to me. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
I do too.
I think overall it's better.
Yeah. Yeah. Positive. Definitely. I would also say being sensitive to when you're posting where you're going, because a lot of times it's inspiring to be like, oh my God, this is beautiful. I definitely want to go visit here. But then if you're posting someplace that's sensitive, like it can also get overrun.
Definitely.
And so just knowing that if you happen to have somebody share with you a really special place or something that can be sensitive and can be harmed by a lot of people, just being respectful of like the leave no trace perspective
of
it.
Sure. There you go.
Definitely. Yeah, it just makes places much more
popular.
Alrighty. This is a good question for you to answer.
This is a good question for me.
So,
Erica, you've got me here.
Yes.
So how do you quiet your inner voice doing things when solo, your inner voice of fear when doing things solo? So Erica, I don't do things solo. Because my inner voice is too loud. And it takes away from my experience. So I have tons of friends who love solo hiking. It's where they rejuvenate. It's where they find peace and they love it. And a lot of them have, you know, done different things. And I don't, maybe you guys do some solo stuff so you can speak to better. But personally for me, I like a buddy. Like I like having a friend. least my dog, although she's little, so she's not much like of help for the fear thing. But I actually like the I like having somebody on the trail with me, and I also because I like the shared experience. Right. For me, part of it is
for sure.
Oh my gosh, look how pretty that is.
Yeah. Well, and then you have somebody to take your picture. You don't have to do this.
Exactly. And that's like an experience that those two people like. As much as you tell the story with others, they'll never really understand unless you were there.
Yeah.
So, okay, so I realized that we really went all in, like, we're not going solo. But I know a lot of people that I've spoken to that really enjoy that peace and getting to know other friends on the trail that they, and plus, from my experience doing the John Muir Trail, I did have a friend go with me, but what if that other person wasn't at my pace, or what if there was something really quirky? So you really have to choose your partners wisely, and maybe going solo, it lets that, it's more easy. You know,
yeah, and
that,
you might
that
be
worry.
On a soul-searching journey. I mean, you might want to be alone, and there's nothing wrong with that. I don't fault anybody for doing that.
I also think the question is more about, so this person apparently thinks, I'm already solo, I have these fears, what do I do? You know, and I think addressing a lot what Marilee or what we've all talked about here is just really trusting yourself and not to put yourself in situations and just know that you're okay. Trust yourself.
And so I would say listen to like what is the fear? Right? So is the fear that you're going to get attacked by an animal? Think through like how realistic is it that you're really going to get attacked by an animal? Know, like think about what is it that's causing the fear and thinking if you can have a rational response or a way to make yourself so that when you go out, you're not fearful of animals, and, of strangers.
And it's a normal thing to have. Think because when I've come across and we've come across people solo hiking and women specifically, I think that's the question. And I remembered one woman saying she always has to have a conversation with herself to talk herself out of things and to just do it, know she's going to be okay.
And that, and I think that combined with just good common sense, being aware, and you come out of it alive and well, and it just gives you that greater sense of empowerment. And I think that's really important about so
I worry now more about crossing the street. I worry it's more realistic that I'm gonna get hit by a car than I'm gonna get attacked by the mountain lion that we threw outside.
Those were two great questions, by the way.
No, absolutely.
Thank you so much. Okay,
so so we have a question from Diane, and this is a really good question. She asks, what advice do you have for people with mobility issues who want to get outside? And I think it's a great question, and I think immediately, you know, reach out to your active friends. Let them know you want to get outside, because I think it's, I mean, shame on us. Sometimes we think, oh, you know, they can't walk so well. They don't want to come outside, but maybe we're just missing that, you know? And I think that's a really important thing. The other thing is I have noticed that there's a much greater emphasis on mobility, like in the national parks. There's so much much greater accessibility than they used to. What do you girls have?
Yeah, without knowing the level of mobility issues that are going on, you know, but we can... You know, if you're in a wheelchair, you know, these ramped, like all the ramped in the parks and things like that, there are different ways.
I mean, how about like running? If you're a runner, you know, somebody's in a wheelchair, maybe they want to go out and get out. You can take them out. Or, I mean, I feel like we can do a lot better job of thinking of
creative ways. There are some amazing stories, even about persons who have gone blind and that are running with a guide and somebody.
The
woman that ran the Grand Canyon blind just this year.
Amazing.
Just this last year,
Yeah, and I would say again, it's framing what being outdoors looks like to you, So being outdoors or enjoying the outdoors or wilderness doesn't necessarily mean a peak or 15 miles in the backcountry. There are a lot of very like front country, close to home opportunities, state parks, you know, city parks that you can really find, arboretums, botanical gardens, where you can go have these amazing outdoor moments and times that are more accessible.
Definitely. Absolutely. But I say definitely reach out. If you have a mobility issue, reach out to people you know, because if I knew somebody, you know, that wanted me to help, absolutely. I would love to do what I could, you know, to help.
Okay, I have a really good one from Lillian. So this is going to be a great closer for us because we're running out of time. So really quickly, she's asking, what experience got you hooked on the outdoor life? So I got this. My family would take me camping, you know, since I was like 5 years old. The day we got out of school in June, we were taking that tent, we were going camping, and you know, I don't know, that was just my life as a kid. And as an adult, in my 20s, I kind of got away from it a little bit. But when I really needed that peace and grounding and healing, I came back to nature. And then that's why I devoted my life to influencing other women and to get outdoors. So what was yours?
Yeah, so I too had a very similar background growing up. I mean, I grew up in a family, we were camping every weekend. And so I'm very, very lucky that I had that upbringing. But I have to say, just, you know, like Cindy, being outdoors with my girlfriends is just my favorite thing in the world. And every time I go out, I want to do it again and again and again. And I never want to come back. I just
it's
want
addicting. All the,
yeah.
And, it's a good addiction.
That is just what fuels it. It's just my time with my girlfriends out in the wilderness, and there's just nothing better.
That's awesome. So very, what you
yeah,
got?
Yeah, for me, I had the opposite, where when we were kids, we were like, we want to go camping. And my mom like bought us like tents and sleeping bags and put us in the backyard. We're like, how fun camping is. So it wasn't until my 30s, and I was working at a marketing company that worked in the outdoor industry, and I realized I might want some more knowledge about outdoor stuff. I always did team sports. And so I took the Wilderness Travel course with the Sierra Club here in Los Angeles, and it literally changed my life. So I now, my whole career is focused on the outdoors. I'm teaching in the outdoors. Like, it completely changed my life. And it was because, like, the first time I went into the Sierra and I just was happy. And I think also too, I was deliriously happy when I survived snow camping. And I was like, I didn't die. But just, there was just a feeling that I can't describe that just, like, it was life-changing. So being able to get a little bit farther in the backcountry and feel comfortable and confident doing that was life-changing for me.
Right. Well, I grew up in Alaska, so I spent all of the time outdoors, but I was still in the city, in Anchorage. So it wasn't until, even though we did hikes, it wasn't that I had to do, you know, go climb Denali or anything like that. It was like we were always outdoor playing, whether it was skiing or skating, sledding, in the summer, just outside all the time. And it wasn't until I got older that I was more intrigued that I wanted to get out and do more things like backpacking. And then I met my friend Marilee, who lived down the street. And so next thing we know, I'm in the Sierras, and now we've done many adventures together. So it's been amazing. And I have to say, the outdoors is the place that makes me feel happy. Yeah. So makes me feel really good.
That's awesome. That was such a great closing question. Oh, for all
couldn't
of
be
us.
Better.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you for that one.
Fantastic questions by all of our viewers. Thank you so much for joining us. Don't forget, you will be getting
a Peppa Foot.
Peppa Foot.
Yay.
Oh, so by Rinse, thank questions. You again to Rinse Soap Company for giving us these.
Yeah, and if we did not get to your questions, please continue to write them in the feed below, and one of us will be answering you and addressing that offline. So continue those good thoughts. And if you like this programming, please like us, share us, and email us at chickaboomtv@gmail.com. Bring us your topics, because you never know, that might be the one we choose for episode 2. Exactly. We definitely want to hear from you. It's a discussion between all of us. And Chickaboom is a fun, lively discussion where we get women in the outdoors confidently and comfortable. Ignite the discussion. Ladies, thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right.